Jenny Breeden, and I do the Devil's Penny. You're listening to the Webcomic Speaking.
Now broadcasting the Webcomic Beacon.
Hello and welcome to episode 36 of the Webcomic Beacon at webcomicbeacon.com. This is Fess of Fessworks.com with me, Tanya of Betapwn.com.
Hello, hello.
And also Aaron of TeebleComic.com.
That's me.
Bit better with it.
Now that we've all been properly identified.
Yep, we're actually talking about conventions again. Yes, we
again.
I think it was like episode 5 that we had done conventions once before, but we're coming off of a big convention, Comic Con, which Tanya was able to go to. And Tanya, tell us a little bit about that.
Comic Con was any other comic convention I've been to times 100. There were hordes of people, some of which were very strange and very rude, and mostly it was a very positive experience. Because I had to travel so far, I live in Colorado, and obviously it's in San Diego, I made about 20% back of what I spent to go. But
Yay!
But I sort of expected that. I went in really looking more to put than I did to sell. So I did see several people just completely sell out. There were signs everywhere. You know, this book is no longer here. And so people did do very well. And it seemed to me that the comic compilations were doing better than anything else in small press. Obviously, I didn't get to go anywhere else. I saw nothing. I managed to go to Comic-Con and see absolutely nothing other than the small press table, the Lego booth, because I had to get something for my son, the Pokemon booth, because I had to get something for my daughter, and I did stop by Slave Labor Graphics to get some Jonan Vasquez swag. But yeah, for the most part, it was really hectic. And good, though. Good overall. Webcomic people, it turns out, are really nice.
Cool.
They're really nice to us,
no
us lily
They're
morons. Nice. I know, it's crazy. Jenny Breeden is the nicest person on the planet. I've come to believe this after a 5-minute conversation with her. There's an aura of sainthood around Miss Breeden. She does the Devil's Panties, in case anyone doesn't know the name. It was good. It was good, and it was hectic. And for all of you people who are looking to do merchandising at cons, extra, extra large and extra, extra, extra large sizes in t-shirts are not too big. Go ahead and get some of those. That would be good. There were a few sales that I had to, like, give out a card and, like, well, I don't carry that size right now, but email me and I'll get you one. So, yeah. What would you like to know? I'm just rambling now.
Well,
I'm tired.
That's about it. We had you call in last. We had you call in last week, and we touched base with a little bit of what was going on with you there. So actually, I really don't know how much more we're going to add to the conversation of convention. Yes, you have questions.
Yes. Okay. How did you deal with the Comic-Con crud?
Okay. Wait. What?
The convention crud.
Oh, how did I get the con crud?
And what are you talking about?
And what am I talking about? Con crud is that indiscriminate sickness that anyone who has a booth at a convention can just sort of expect to get. It's usually upper respiratory, and it's because you're touching people that you shouldn't. Everyone wants to shake your hand, and they're, I don't know, licking themselves and then handing you things. I don't know what's going on. But every convention I've ever been to, by the last day, I'm kind of coughing and wheezing and feeling like crap. And I think it's just bad food, no sleep, and a million germs that you're not ordinarily, like, not exposed to. And I know that again, Jenny Breeden of Devil's Panties, for a while, was selling, like, little packets of Plague Monkey hand sanitizer. And I should have asked her, like, how did that work for you? Did that help? But
Ugh. But do you think you could just put, like, bottles of the spray alcohol soap, like, right on your table and be like, touch me. Don't touch
Please
me.
Toast. I was dangerously close to being a germaphobe by, like, Sunday morning. People would extend their hand to shake it, and I could just visualize the little green creepy crawlies just everywhere. I washed my hands all the time. It didn't matter. I'm still sick. I just give up.
Next time, just wear, like, one of those bio suits and work it into your comic storyline somehow.
That'd be good.
She's in the bio suit. Read my comic to find out why.
Nice. I should have. You know what? It probably would have been helpful.
Get a little AC with a tube from the AC pumped into the suit, and then
That would have been awesome. That's the other thing, is that most of the conventions I go to, it gets incrementally warmer as the day goes on. But no, not San Diego. And it got colder. And I dressed for San Diego weather. And I was wrong in that, because it was frickin' cold sitting at the booth. It's a little different when you're milling through the crowds and there's sort of, like, you know, mass biomass all around you. but when you're just sitting at the booth, it was cold. I wished for sweaters. There were no sweaters. If you're going to San Diego, bring a sweater.
Well, there you go. Next time. Sorry.
Go.
Okay, next time read the weather report first, and then make the clothes for your comic that suits the weather down there at the time.
The thing is, well, yeah, but I mean, outside it was 103. It's just they crank the AC because there's so many people, and as long as you're moving, you're good. But boy, you stand still, there's frost. It was cold. It was really cold. But yeah, anytime I felt serious pity for the people that were, like, they stayed out all night for the Heroes signing. When we left the night before the Heroes signing, people were starting to line up, and by the time we came in the next day, the line, you know, was like full bank queue, you know, where it, like, snakes back and forth and back and forth all the way around the building. And, you know, it was already 90 degrees at 9 o'clock in the morning, and they were just going to sit out there and sweat to death to get an autograph, but screw that, I went inside. I don't care enough.
So what merch do you think was selling the best?
For me, it was my moderately inappropriate t-shirts did really well. A lot of people thought they were really funny and then wouldn't buy them. And I did ask a couple of people, I'm like, okay, so you said you liked it. How come you're not going to buy one? And they go, well, I couldn't wear that in public. So I realized that I have to maybe tone it down a bit. But
that all depends. You know, sometimes there's things that I would like to wear in public because I don't really go out into public a whole lot, so I don't care. I mean, because, you guys know the Red versus Blue guys, right? That do the Halo 3 or Halo Machinima, Red versus Blue. They had a T-shirt that said "Cockbite" right on it, and
nice.
Apparently they discontinued the shirt because I was, like, kind of waiting to get it because when I buy stuff from there, I like to get, like, a bunch at one time. And then they're all out.
Yeah.
I was like, well, that sucks. I mean, it's like, I want a shirt that says "Cockbite" right on it, and that'd be so cool.
See. Had I known, they had a booth that was, like, right across the way. I passed it every day as I came in. So.
Oh, man.
I could have said, dude, where's the Cockfight shirt? They would have laughed, and that would have been at least worth something. But
perhaps.
That was another booth. That was another booth that was really hard to get to. There were just hordes of people around that. But, yeah, shirts sold really well. Again, get big sizes. I didn't sell a single small.
So you're saying all the Comic-Con goers were fat bastards?
Some of them. Well, you know, it's just I've never sold a small shirt. Let's just put it that way.
Well, I would never think anyone would sell a small shirt. I mean, whenever you go to like a place like Hot Topic or Spencer and they got the clearance rack, what do they got? Small and extra small there. Nobody's going to buy that. In fact, there's one shirt I liked, but it was like extra small. I couldn't wear it. So what I did is I just cut out the image from the shirt after I bought it and like I pinned it to the back of another shirt or something like that.
Nice.
A little punk rock, but.
Yeah, you know, it's like an applique.
Yeah, it was you guys seen C-Lab 2021?
Yeah.
It was a shot of the first captain with the word fig nuts right at the bottom. It was pretty sweet.
Oh, that's funny. That is pretty funny. See, I don't have any fig nut shirt. We'll be debuting a couple new t-shirts about, you know, we have one, I'm trying to remember what it says. You call it stalking. I call it, what is it? It's like, I call it true love or something horrible.
Oh, geez.
That we'll be selling at Mile High. But
I know someone who might be interested in making a cameo-related t-shirt. I know he's going to be looking for places to sell. Only this is the guy I was telling you about. He's from the crossover and cameo webcomic crossover and cameo archive.
Yeah,
He corrected me on where he's from. He's from Denmark, and that's Hogan. He had to yell at me. So he has some ideas to make some t-shirts. So I'm gonna direct him towards your way once you get your guys' site going.
Yeah. We had a minor catastrophic meltdown where you could technically order things from us. It's just that we wouldn't get the order and you wouldn't so much pay. So I decided to fix that.
But that would be a good thing to do.
Yeah.
Let's see here. What? Yeah.
Are there more questions, Aaron?
How long was the drive?
It took us 2 days. We drove from Frederick, where I live, we drove to Mesquite, Nevada, because Mesquite, this is just a little travel tip, is easily half as expensive as Las Vegas. So we stayed overnight in Mesquite, and then we drove straight from Mesquite to San Diego. So it was only 2 days. It wasn't too bad. And we had a band van. We were, like, traveling in style. We had DVDs and it was no problem. And I didn't have to fly. Yay!
Yay!
Shoot, what I was going to say.
I don't know.
Oh, shoot. Oh, man, I had it. It was... No. Oh, okay. Tanya, I forwarded you an email of someone who was asking if you were going to Toronto Con or something in Toronto or something. I don't remember.
Yeah, I was just looking at this. And actually, I found this out while I was in San Diego. I was talking to someone about a print comic that she had, and she mentioned that she lived in Toronto. And I was like, oh, hey, I'm going to Toronto Con next year. And she said, there is no such thing. Which one are you talking about? And I kind of blinked and said, the one in July. And she informed me, not Toronto Con, it is Paradise Con in Toronto. So I had the name wrong. She's like, well, there isn't one. You're going to a non-existent convention. But, yeah, it's Paradise Con. So I was responding to the email, and we decided to record the beacon.
Well, already. So when is Toronto Paradise Con?
Paradise Con is July 12th through the 14th, I believe. So,
next
I will
year.
Be vanning. Yeah, next year.
Okay.
Not this
Wait,
year.
Very much next year.
Very much next year. Exactly opposite this year. Yeah.
Aaron, are you going to any conventions in the next year?
I don't even have enough money to make merchandise for myself.
You don't... I'm not talking about merchandise. I'm talking about just going to a convention.
I don't like people.
Well, fine.
Do you think I want to be around people?
There are a lot of people.
But you can love gatherings and hate people.
Oh, no. No, no. Unless we're there to see a metal band, no.
Oh. Well, fine.
Alrighty then.
Do you have any
that you're going to this
yes.
year?
Yes, I got a few. I'm going to actually be trying to go to now. Mark your calendars, everybody. because you won't care. No, in September, September 27th and 28th, GeekCon is happening again in Madison, Wisconsin. I'm planning to go to that show again, and I think me and Ed Dunphy of Lab Rats at labrats.comicgenesis.com, we're going to try to do another webcomic panel once again. We'll probably try to schedule it for 2 hours this time, since we had the previous panel eat into our time, plus we had laptop issues because he had a Mac and their projector wasn't compatible with the Mac, and so we had to find a different computer, and it was just we ended up having only half an hour about to go over stuff before the next group came in. So we're going to try to plan for that again this year at GeekCon Madison, Wisconsin, 27th to 28th of September. In October in Minnesota, there is FallCon, which is on the 4th and the 5th, I believe. It's in Minneapolis, Minnesota at, I believe, the fairgrounds. And I guess that's just another general type of convention. I think mostly surrounded around comics. I'm not entirely sure. But I guess I'm going to go into that with Diana Nock is going to be there as well. She's of Jinxville.com, and she used to review webcomics for the Webcomic Beacon for a while.
Yes.
So, and she also did that Imaginary Friends Forever comic for the Sugary Cereals.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, just getting all the plugs in here that I can. And and let's see here. In November 21st to the 23rd, there is Midwest Fur Fest, a furry convention, which Darcy of Aaron, you know Codename Hunter, right?
Hell yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. They were talking to me about possibly getting together and doing a webcomics panel for that convention. So, if we play in our cards right, I'll be on the webcomic panel for that convention. I'll be heading down there. That'll be my first furry convention, so it should be fun. No, it's not a bunch of people in fur suits having sex. It's just people who it's. I mean, there might be that there. Who knows? I'm not going to judge. But it's about, you know, liking the idea of humanoid animalistic characters and such. So, and. And Codename Hunter doesn't have any of that crazy stuff in there, and it's actually an excellent comic. You guys should check it out. Awesomely colored.
Oh, yeah.
So, we'll get all these links in the show notes to the ones that I'm plugging. I think those are all the conventions that I have lined up that I'm planning to go to this year, so that's cool.
The next one's this year. I have Nandesu Con is coming up September 12th, 13th, and 14th, and that's obviously, I think, an anime convention, the Denver Tech Center Marriott, and then October 18th, everyone needs to be aware, is the 24-hour comic challenge. We need to do that again this year. And then the 24th, October 18th.
October 18th.
From noon on the 18th to noon on the 19th. Is the 24-hour comic.
Is this 24-hour comic day?
Yes. It's the 24-hour comic challenge day. So that's the official date. And then the 24th, 25th, and 26th, I will be at Mile High Con, which is also in the Denver Center Marriott. So.
Well, cool. We'll have
and then
to...
I'm done. Convention Center's over. And
we'll have to plan
bed.
Something for a 24-hour comic day.
We need to talk with fanboys, because they're doing something, too. Fanboys podcast.
Okay. What are we doing?
I don't know. They're doing something for their 24-hour podcast. I was under the impression they were actually going to try and do a 24-hour podcast.
Well, I might actually, if I can get, I should try to get that day off. I would actually be willing to try to do that. It's not going to be recorded. I don't think so. I think I might run out of room on my computer. Who knows?
I would be more than happy to do interviews with people as they're doing the comic, but I am going to try and finish my comic this year. So
maybe do an update every hour for 10 minutes.
That's what I was thinking. 10, 15 minutes every hour.
I'll run a live webcam, too.
Oh, hell.
Because I got a new laptop, so I can do both. I can have a webcam up of of me trying to stay awake. We'll see if I can get that day off. Maybe we all can plan something.
That'd be good.
Other than that, there's a big crossover thing going on during that time of the month. Well, all of October, and some people are starting actually, I think a week or two from now, and it should run until the end of November, I think. That is the 2008 Halloween Cameo Caper, which is being set up and orchestrated through the webcomic crossover and Cameo Archive, which I was mentioning before. I actually got a couple of crossovers being developed right now. And we'll probably go over that more later in a couple of weeks. September 7th, I believe we're gonna have for episode 41. We're probably gonna be talking about crossovers, either the Crossover Wars or the Cameo Caper. I'm not entirely sure yet, but it might end up taking two episodes. But we'll get more to that in the news. We're gonna take a quick break right now. When we come back, everybody in the chat room, we're going to be taking calls and questions about, I guess, conventions. And I guess anything else you want to ask about, too. We'll fill up the dead air time. But right now, we're going to take a quick break.
The Webcomic Beacon is an affiliate of The Geek Media. The Geek Media has a number of geek-related podcasts, blogs, and videos for you to enjoy. Check out thegeekmedia.com. Have news, milestones, questions, or comments? Send your audio clips or email to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com.
I'm so freaking out of it. It's not even funny.
I am out of it myself as well. I was playing DDR, and I screwed up my knee a little bit. It's my surgery knee.
Oh.
I was like playing.
I'm supposed to get surgery on my right knee, but I basically decided to wait until after convention season.
Okay.
It's like, how much worse can it get?
Oh,
I've got
worse
cons to go to. It's good to have priorities.
Aaron, you're on the Wii Fit?
Yeah, I hurt my knee too.
On the Wii Fit.
Like a dumbass.
How'd you hurt your knee on the Wii Fit?
I was doing step aerobics and landed on my right knee wrong somehow. I don't know. I don't know how you hurt your knees. It just happens. There's no reason.
It's just... Yeah.
It's one of life's great mysteries.
Well, it is. It usually happens on stairs. I'll be walking up some stairs or down some stairs, and all of a sudden, oh, crap.
Do you have balance issues?
Yeah,
inner ear infection? Your balance is thrown off a little bit?
Yeah, have you ever heard of vertigo?
Yeah?
Yeah, I have vertigo.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
So I shouldn't sneak up behind you and yell. Okay.
You'd get elbowed in the face. I don't take kindly to people touching me.
You should stay away from the convention circuit. Just entirely.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see here. Everybody in the chat room, anybody have a question related to webcomics or something else that we might
about?
Be able to answer?
Is that resounding silence, you trying to figure out which question to ask first?
I don't see anybody. Nobody's posted anything. This is the time when I'm actually looking at the chat room, guys.
Yeah, Delaney has a question. Delaney just has a question.
You can has a question. What is your question? You can.
I don't know. He won't ask. Ask the question. Or
yeah, post the question first, and then we'll tell you if we'll...
You have to ask something. You can't just keep saying...
Or what is it related to, at the very least?
Maybe we can guess, yeah.
Is it about kittens?
Is it about knees? Maybe it's about Sega. Oh. Canada. Where's that?
We wouldn't have any freaking idea.
Dude, I don't even know where Canada is.
It's up. Canada's up.
Is that the place between here and Alaska?
It's blocking us from Alaska, yes.
I think we need to have, like, a special road that we can get to so we can drive straight to Alaska.
Without going through customs?
Yeah, and we'll call it, like, the United States Highway to Alaska or something, so we can just drive there and...
There's, like, a fucking border crossing going into California. Like, they stopped the car and asked us if we had any fruits or produce.
Oh, no, it's because of the fruit ban. It's been like that for years.
I apparently have never driven into the...
Yeah, it's been like that for years. You can't have an apple from the store. They will take it away from the road.
I have to admit that we may be, I don't know, smuggled an orange across the border to California.
Thus, cut that out of the show.
Border Patrol is going to show up at my door and demand the orange. I was like, but I'm eating it. I'm not going to like it. It's our orange.
Puke that up right now. Puke that up. The seeds will stay in your stomach and they'll taint the land. Arnold will come and terminate you in the past.
No, Delanis, we have no idea about any conventions up in there. That's not a question we can really answer. You'd have to Google that.
What, about Canada?
Yeah, about conventions. That's not something that we'd know of, except for, like, Toronto Paradise Con.
Yeah, Paradise Con is the only one I'm even remotely aware of, and there's apparently some sort of an art festival that's lovely, but I don't know the dates, or... I'm not a Canuck. Double D on Hyatt Art Forums. Go into Hyatt Art Forums and put out a general call for Double D and ask him about Canada cons. He knows.
I guess we don't got any other questions from the chat room. Perhaps we should pick a second theme for the show from our future themes on the back burner, our upcoming episodes. I don't know if there's anything we can do.
No, I'm just thinking about this highway, and it's cool because the roads would be on, like, the right side of the road, and there wouldn't be kilometers, it'd still be miles, and the gas stations would, like, not have hookers at them. I don't know.
Would not have hookers.
I don't know if any gas stations have ever had hookers at them.
I've never been to Canada, but that's how I picture Canada being. Hookers and kilometers and...
Nice. Cool, I think you alienated all of our Canadian listeners.
Canada has that cool topless law where a woman can go topless anywhere a man can go.
That's in Quebec.
Is it just Quebec?
It's like, I believe it's one
province. I
thought it was
all of Canada. Aww. I was hoping it was all of Canada. It was just boobies as far as the eye could see.
One could only hope. But
well, it is cold too. I don't know if there's.
But you have to understand that also means that men can do that as well, and for the most part, men should really keep their shirts on. So,
thumbs. Sir Pounce has a question. How did Tanya attract people to her table?
How did I attract people to my table?
But we were just talking about boobies, so I'm assuming...
There were boobies. I displayed those. But other than that, only in legal ways. mostly, we handed out free stuff. What it came down to is if somebody paused, you know, a millisecond too long in front of the booth, it was like, hey, would you like a free bookmark? And here, have a comic. And, you know, it was like, and here, and here, and here. And then they felt almost compelled to stay and talk to you and at least look at your stuff because you gave them things.
I know, and, I get that. That's obvious. It's like, you feel guilty and you're just like...
But, you know, it's just a matter of getting people to stop. And if they can just stop for a second. And I had... my business cards are always a big hit. I have the penis size versus obnoxiousness chart on the front of my business cards.
That was like one of the awesomest things you ever did, I think, when you came up with that.
Well, thank you. People like that a lot. So I slapped it on the front of my business card. And so, you know, I was handing those out, and to the guys, I was like, hey, no offense. And to the girls, I was like, here, take a couple and pass them out to your friends, you know. And so I printed up about 1,000 of those and gave them all out. Awesome. But, yeah, it's mostly free stuff. Just hand them something for free, and at least half of them will feel compelled to at least look at what else you have.
Right.
I have also the benefit of being a member of the comic co-op Squidworks, and one of our members makes these incredible monster sculptures, and so people stop to look at those, and then they're just captive audience. Then they can't leave until you stop talking to them, so...
Speaking of free stuff, was there a lot of free stuff on the ground and in the garbage, or...
You know, there wasn't, because you have the big studios give out these massive bags that people knock each other over for in, like, fights. It's bizarre. But everything goes into those bags. So I imagine it's the trash cans at individual homes that are full of crap.
It's not the trash so much cans at homes that are full of trash ash cans.
Yes. Yes. But it really wasn't too bad at the con. The things I found on the floor were really stupid. So, like, you know, it was advertising a television show that nobody'd heard of, or, you know, those kind of things. But for the most part, people were actually pocketing stuff and, you know, and putting it in their bags instead of just, yeah, okay, great, just to get you off their back.
Well,
have entertaining things to pass out. Have entertaining things.
I went to GeekCon last year, and I took everything that I could. I put it in an envelope to sort through later. I have still not gone through that envelope, and it's almost like a year later.
It's time for GeekCon again.
Yeah, aww. I feel bad, though. But there was actually some good stuff in there, some nice art and stuff. But, you know, I'm a very bad procrastinator.
Don't give free stuff to Fess. That's what it all comes down to. I went through all my free stuff. And
don't ask me to buy something if you don't really have anything to show for it anywhere yet.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Like, there was this one girl. She was really nice, and she had like a webcomic idea, and she was selling bookmarks and such. It's like
for an idea.
Yeah, well, it's like it's not anywhere yet, and it was like preliminary, and it's like, well.
Then
you really
away.
Shouldn't be as well. She was kind of nice, and she was also cute. So obviously, I was. But
back,
you know,
to boobies.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't looking at her boobs. She had a really cute face and short hair. It was pretty cute.
Oh. Okay.
Let's see here. It doesn't look like anybody else has any questions. So what I'm going to talk about really quick here is tracking stats. How do you guys track stats on your websites?
Aaron, you want to go first?
Yep. I have AW stats. It's right built into my host. And
I'm sorry, what kind of stats?
It's called AW stats. It's built right into my host. I wish it did a lot more, but because it doesn't really tell me very much.
What host do you have?
Site5.
You're going to have to send me... Send me the links to those so I can get into the notes.
Okay, Site5 is really good. Cheap hosting. They've been down all of, like, one time for maybe an hour since I've had them for over a year and a half. So, anyway, yep.
Tanya, how do you do site checks?
I host with GoDaddy, so they have their free stats But for more detailed stats, I use Quantcast, and actually, if you go to quantcast.com, Quantcast, you can actually put in anybody's domain name, and it'll give you, like, the education level of their readers, racial backgrounds. It gives you, like, crazy information. So you really have a lot of information. You can also compare sites, so you can see, like, how your traffic compares to someone else's traffic, how your demographic compares to theirs. So I use Quantcast for most of it.
This is through GoDaddy.com?
No, Quantcast is separate. You put a little snippet of code on your front page, and it keeps track of all your stats. So GoDaddy just has their regular, you know, it'll tell me how many page views, how many hits, how many, you know, that kind of how long they stayed, how many pages they went to. But QuantCast is actually a lot more detailed as far as demographics than most of the stats programs.
Is this QUANTcast.com?
Yes. QUANTcast.com.
Okay. Well, do either of you use your Project Wonderful codes to track stats? I mean, at least a very minimal.
I used to until through GoDaddy I found that 80% of my viewers were using browsers that would block ads. So when I was looking at my Project Wonderful stats, they were really low compared to my other stats, and I couldn't figure out why. And that's what it was. They weren't loading the ads, so it was a bad count for me.
I wonder if they're turning the JavaScript off, because I know Project Wonderful has two different ways you can have codes, one is more you can mess with it more, but they say it could be blocked more often by people who disable JavaScript. I don't know anybody who disables JavaScript these days, though.
I know. I don't know. It could be my ineptitude. I'm not really sure. I just know that I didn't get the best. They didn't seem accurate to me, based on a few other places. Sometimes they were really crazy high. Sometimes they were really low. The other thing that I find interesting about Project Wonderful is I have two different types of ads on my main page. I have the tower ad, and then I have the little button ads. Uh-huh. Well, I get different numbers of page views for my button ads versus my tower ad. They're on the same page.
Are one in the archives and one is not?
Nope.
Are you sure they're not? Are you sure they're not? Some are not doubled up anywhere.
They are not doubled up anywhere because the only place I have them is on the main comic page, and I don't even have an archive anymore. I mean, not like that.
It's possible that one's not fully loading, especially if it's at the bottom of the page.
And that's probably what's happening.
Okay,
but
One, two, three, go.
Okay.
I just wanted to tell Tanya that, and I think Fess is right on. My comic for a long time would not load Project Wonderful ads if their site was being too laggy. If your skyscraper code is way up higher in your HTML than your bottom code, because it, you know, HTML loads from top to bottom. You want to have your ads load last.
That explains it.
Otherwise, your comic won't load, and then you're in trouble.
Well, it also depends on how many freaking times you div up your page. For people who don't know what divving means, it's basically when you use like tables and separations to make side panels and such. Those go in a different order as well, and if you have way too many of those, it may lag to run entire columns, basically.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm sure that's what it is.
So that could be it. So, well, I guess if you don't got anything else, Project Wonderful can be a little bit useful to at least see, I think, if not the exact numbers, at least frequency of which people visit your site a little bit more clearly, you know, page views and uniques as what they show, especially when you have like, if you have like a Project Wonderful ad run, you're going to see a huge spike, of course. And that's what I've seen more often than not. But you can it's good to visually see your fluctuations for if you already have Project Wonderful ads to do that. Otherwise, what I like to use is GoStats at GoStats.com. It's a free. There's also a pay version of it as well. But it at least shows good information for the past 30 days, a little bit more detailed. After 30 days, it gets a little bit harder to differentiate a few things just because that's the free version. But if you look at the bottom of the Webcomic Beacon or any of other my sites, you're going to see a GoStats code link, which I post on every. It's part of the code on every single page that exists on every single site that I make. Basically, the archive pages right. of my comics, everything, and then it all adds up, totals up, because then it'll account to see how far into your website people are looking when they come there. It'll look up individual hosts, individual visitors, unique sessions, page views. I've been trusting in this free stat thingy. It's pretty cool. So that's what I use.
didn't know that GoDaddy had stats. I'm going to check that out.
They do. Yeah.
It probably works best if you're hosted to them, too. But
I don't know if they have... there is a stat bundle that you can buy from GoDaddy, but if you're hosted on GoDaddy, you have free stats, and then you can always upgrade, I guess, to super X special stats, but I just go to Quantcast.
Yeah, most people don't need to know that stuff. Anybody in the chat room, does anybody have a different stat counter thing that you guys look at?
I used to use Extreme. What was it called? Extreme Stats?
Extreme!
I took it down because I'm like, okay, this is stupid.
You weren't extreme enough for it?
Well, the one I really, really want to know is so hard to find out as soon as someone posts something off your site into a forum, it's almost impossible to find it. And I can't find a stat counter that can find that.
Well, you can't use a stat counter to find that. You have to look into your own the server to see where your hot links are being going. That's a server based thing. Your server can figure out if you're being hot linked somewhere.
Yeah.
I know.
A stat counter is not going to find that.
I know. But I mean, down to the actual forum post.
GoDaddy's basic stat package, because it, again, if you're hosted there, it's their servers, has that. It'll tell you exactly to the post where it is.
Oh, that's so cool.
Now, unfortunately, heaven forbid you get stumbled, because then all your stats are full of every individual little thumbs up that, you know, has been on there, and you have to wade through all of those to find anything useful. So,
I don't look anywhere. I figure if anybody wants to post it, they can go ahead and then just bring traffic to the site, maybe. But my comics now are so damn tall that it also would be cruel to the forum people to do whatever. some people in the chat room are posting statcounter.com and extremetracking.com. I can't vouch for any of these, and these guys aren't saying anything about them. They're just listing them. Oh, yep, it's extreme.
I'm on my Quantcast page right now, and it's telling me that 54% of my audience is male, 46% are between 18 and 34, 90% are Caucasian, they have no children overall, they make between $30,000 and $60,000 a year, and are college graduates.
Yeah, but
That's rocking. I love that.
Yeah, but that wouldn't know what I am. I don't fill out any information for them.
Well,
so
no,
it
no,
can't
no.
Be
I
that
know
accurate.
That.
And also, I've never met
anybody. It's accurate for the ones that have the cookies on their computers.
Well,
of course.
It's
giving you a very base market range.
Have you ever met anyone from Caucasia?
From where?
I don't know.
I have.
There's no such place as Caucasia.
No, it's
so who
the
hell are Caucasians?
Good lord.
Caucus. It's a whole other episode.
We'll do the word root episode.
Yeah, no, it actually,
the word root episode.
What it is, it's based on a mountain range area that used to be called the Caucasian Mountains.
No, it's not.
Oh, yes, it is. That's what I
heard.
No,
it comes from the word caucus from Britain.
Seriously, this is what we're arguing about?
I just hate that word. I never, if there's a form and it says, so what is your race? And it says Caucasian. I select other.
Yep.
I am not fucking Caucasian.
Well, no, a lot of
I always select other because it's like none of my business.
Well, I will say white or American.
Well, yeah.
The American race. I don't care. And you can be multicolored for American race. I don't care. I just hate saying Caucasian because it's like, I'm not from Caucasia. If anything, I'm like European descent, so I'd say European, but no, it goes all the way back to my great grandparents. Great great grandparents, I don't remember. Who cares?
I think my point was, it gives you a decent idea of who you're marketing to.
I'm not marketing to anybody.
I know you're not. For those of us who want to make money, it gives you a decent idea who your audience is.
Yeah, fine. Well, we gotta take another break, and when we come back, news. All right.
Good lord.
All right. Break time.
The Webcomic Beacon is hosted on RampageNetwork.com. Be sure to check out our weekly live broadcast on TalkShoe.com. Listen in, chat, or call in at WebcomicBeacon.com/live. Savory with a webcomic review.
Transgender. Not a subject I've had very much interest in, to be honest. But I figured, since I don't normally read transgender comics, what the heck? What could it hurt to look some over? I admit, I was thinking what I'd probably find was a bunch of comics that try to justify this, that, or the other to an unsympathetic world and wind up just sort of preaching to their own particular choir. That's why I feel I was lucky to come across this one. I'm talking about Transmissions by Alex Ringholm over at Comic Genesis. This comic starts off with the main character talking about some of the problems with medication that you can encounter post-surgery, and other installments discuss some of the physical and emotional effects taking hormone shots can have. In that way, it plays a bit like a journal, recording the day-to-day issues that result from becoming transgender. It's not a journal, strictly speaking, but it's an interesting approach that Alex takes with the material. The humor is easygoing, almost matter-of-fact. The stand-in character for the cartoonist is likable, and it's interesting to see the progress he makes on his quest to change his outward appearance. And something else I like. There's not a single comic in the archive that says, "Here's why I decided to do this, and you'd better like it." This comic isn't in your face or banging its fist on the table trying to justify anything. It simply is. In fact, many of the strips aren't about transgender at all. They cover video games, movies, shopping, and the everyday sort of, "here's what happened to me this week" kind of things. It's a nice perspective for the strip because it gives the audience a wider viewpoint. We get more insight into both the cartoonist and the characters, and their sense of humor, than we could from some kind of justification fest. That's a very important point that goes along with some of the things we discussed before about handling political or religious messages or any of that sort of thing. You need to bear in mind the wider audience, even though you may try to play to a particular one. It's one reason why Penny Arcade isn't just about video games. With a topic like transgender, I'd say it's even more important because that's a topic that can be so easily misunderstood by people, if not outright rejected. In Transmissions, Alex seems to have come across just the right mixture. The artwork and lettering are not exactly up to webcomic code yet, but the drawing is consistent and the humor is accessible, both of which are a big step in the right direction. So do check it out, Transmissions by Alex Ringholm, at transmissions.comicgenesis.com. I'm Mark Savory, and until we meet again, take care.
For more from Mark, visit autumnlake.com.
This is Byron of StripFight.org, bringing you the weekly ringside update. Round 168, Talking Trees went to Lisa of lemmingsolution.livejournal.com. Lisa's unsolved mystery left us pining for more. And now let the round 169 games of nature begin. Miko plays dead. Lisa plays the field. Raygun kicks up a storm. Vince lulls you to sleep. Aaron Strip will go down in history. Tim cheats death, and Peter Strip is gamey. Once again, we have 7 players in the round. Go and vote for your favorite strip. The next round 170, The Thing Under My Bed, still has a few days left before the deadline on August 10th. Get those entries in. StripFight.org. May the best comic win.
I know. What does that make you?
What?
Like
pink.
Albinos.
It makes you pink. Pink.
Albinos. Albino. Albino means you got no skin pigmentation
no
at all, and
pigments.
your eyes are usually red.
They're pink.
Pink or red, yeah.
Yeah. But I actually went to school with a girl who was an albino.
Wow.
She had like little fro hair, like white fro hair. And she, it was sad because she couldn't play outside because she gets sunburned. But it was difficult to talk to her at first because, you know, the pink eyes can throw you. But she was very nice. Yeah. Well, it's not something you're used to.
No,
most people I know don't have them.
Well, I got some news this week.
It doesn't involve albinos.
Well, it can involve them. Don't be prejudiced, damn it.
Oh, crap.
Jeez.
Albinos aren't a minority.
What? Well, they're not exactly a majority. They're not a protected minority.
No, but they're albinos just... can be from any race, religion, creed, or
that is true.
So they're not technically a minority.
Well, personally, there's only just one race, and that's the human race. And we all win. Except
Yay.
When we're all killing ourselves. Because we're quibbling over stupid little heritage traits and whatnot.
Homo destructus.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And we got a bunch of news this week, actually, and I'm going to try to figure out what it is by the time I start talking more about what the news is.
Stall.
Okay, if anyone's familiar with Comic Genesis, especially on the Comic Genesis forums, it is time now. In fact, you might be a little bit late for it. The Mr. Thing Comic Genesis 2008 is going on right now. What is that? Well, that's if you have an existing web comic. It exists. You don't necessarily have to be updating right now, but it has to exist. Form avatars and concept sketches of future comics and the like may not enter. One character per comic participating in the same category. So if I have a Mr. and a Miss from the same webcomic, I can enter them in, you know, the Mr. or the Miss categories, and that's acceptable, but I can't have two Misses from my comic put into the Miss category. But you can have a Miss, Mr., or Thing, and there's three separate things, and people create, you have to have a drawing of the character in swimwear, one drawing of the character in formal or winter clothes, a brief description of the character's skills and abilities. Answer the following questions. This year it is, what is your favorite flavor? Who is your role model? And what is your life goal? Some people will actually comic out the questions being answered by the character. That is usually a plus, but you don't have to. You just have to have the two outfit wears. They've extended it to the 15th of August, so if you have some time, you can get in. There's not a whole lot of entries right now, but if there's anything I learned from the Jenny Everywhere Draw to Win Wagon Webcomic Trading Card Battle Contest, is that people are procrastinators, and you'll get a whole lot of entries at the end. So I'm going to put a link in the show notes for it, and otherwise you can just go to the Comic Genesis forums and search for Mr/Thing Comic Genesis 2008, and you should be able to find it. I entered Nemean this year, and Jason is going to be entering Aldla, Ardra's sister, I believe that's what it's going to be, so it should be interesting. So check that out, and vote for me. No.
Nice.
Vote for whoever. I figured it's like the way that I presented Demi in there. If I'm probably not going to win, but I'll probably win the most wordiest entry ever.
Nice.
Because that's just the way I do. I'm a motor mouth. I just blab blab blab. Some more news is that probably should have mentioned this earlier. The Webcomic Beacon is now hosted, at least by the time you get this in MP3 form, on the Rampage Network at rampagenetwork.com. There's a little bit more transition I have to do, but you can check out wcbeacon.rampagenetwork.com. Everything should be up there except for everyone's comments on the previous episodes, because I had to basically rebuild the site because I was just having too much issues, and I had to change a whole bunch of links so to not suck off of Zephyr.net servers. so I'm going to probably have the Zephyr.net archive up for a while to catch all the old posts and such, and then change the directory to kill everything. I'm just going to leave everything there for a little bit while, just in case, as extra backup. But I'm going to get webcomicbeacon.com transferred over there. So, and I have it all set up so that even the old links, if you link through webcomicbeacon.com, this should go to the links on the new site as well, because the way I set everything up again.
Correct.
Otherwise, if you have festworks.zephyr.net/twb, TWCB, then those links are not going to work anymore after a while.
And but, shame on you.
So we have a slightly different design, and underneath our promotion section, we're going to start putting up the Who's Got Reviewed up there, a link to them, as well as if we do a webcomic a Beacon Searchlight, that's going to be up there as well. I believe it's only fair just to stick them up there as a special little something. So check that out, and there'll probably be more information in the coming weeks and a little bit more adjustments of fixing up a little bit of things here and there, but you guys can check it out. It pretty much should be the same. We're going to see what we can do about the iTunes feed and figure out what we need to do with that. The new RSS feed should be up over there as well. So check that out. There's going to be some transition for some people, and we'll be putting we've moved mini podcast in at the old site, so if your iTunes does not pick it up or something like that, you'll at least hear that we moved in case you weren't paying attention or something. So that's that news. We got even more news. Okay, so remember in episode 34, we were talking about the possibility of having, what if we have guests to guests or fans to draw the cover art for the show. Remember that, guys?
Yes, I do.
And guess what I heard? I was listening to the Geekcast episode 153, and the Geekcast, another webcomics podcast, is stealing our idea to have listeners to do the covers. Whether or not that's intentional, they just kind of, or two people think of the same idea. So, JT, what's going on, man?
Thank you.
Thank you. If we have the same fan base, then one of us is getting screwed, dude.
Well, I don't know. It's like,
because they're not going to do covers for both of us.
No, but here's the thing. Okay, no, the Geekcast. I like the Geekcast. Listen to the Geekcast. It's a very different feeling show. It sounds a little bit more professional.
They know what they're talking about. And
JT has a really nice, sexy voice too. If you want to listen to a good radio voice, obviously you're not listening to the webcomic Beacon for good, sexy radio voices.
Right? Not.
No, we just get a little giggling and no.
We talk about boobs way more than they do.
Yeah, they sound a little bit more professional. They cover a lot of stuff that we don't. So if you like listening to webcomic related stuff, check out gigcast.nightgig.com and check out they're calling themselves the Webcomics Podcast. Actually, they were one of the first webcomics podcasts, so they can call themselves that.
Yeah.
like the Buster Balls, give them a hard time. Check it out. The Geekcast, and speaking of other webcomic podcasts, just to bring it up again, Aaron had a guest spot on episode 18 of Pod Warp 1999. It is a science fiction webcomic podcast, so check that out. We'll also be talking about a webcomic podcast. We're also going to be talking about science fiction webcomics eventually, because we're planning to go along to each genre that we can get our grubby little mitts on to talk about some of our favorite comics and about the genre in general. And, well, speaking of genres... Oh, wait, I got to find the... Yes, speaking of...
That was almost smooth. Like, it was so close.
Quit calling it out. Okay. the Webcomic Beacon, episode 38, which is going to be recording on the 17th of August. We got Dan Shive of El Guna Shiv Elgunashiv. Man, I always hear that. Why do I say Shiv? No, Elgunashiv.
I don't know.
Elgunashiv at, let's see, egscomics.com. We're going to be talking about trans and morph webcomics. For people that don't know what we're talking about comics where there's transgendering going on or some sort of like morphing into like an animal or some other creature or something like that. There's a whole subculture of this. And what we're going to do, we're going to talk about some of the cool webcomics out there that are like that, and also break some stereotypes that just because they're transgendered and morphing comics does not mean that they are perverted. Because yeah. Elgunashiv is, it's pretty much rated PG. And I recently finally got through the entire archive. It goes back to about frickin' 2002, I think.
Yeah, it's
crazy.
Long.
It's long, but I really like it. And
I do too.
It's actually really good. And, you know, it's like, you know, comics like that can prove that, you know, it's just like, if you want a good comic to prove that, you know, things like that are perverted, boom, there you go. I mean, maybe have some, you know, subtext to things so now and again, but it's actually really good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so it's like kind of like what we did with the adult webcomics episode. You know, there's a lot of really good stuff out there that just happens to have sex in it. So,
no, it's nice that we all giggle too. We're all so mature.
next week we're on episode 36. This is 36.
Isn't
I'm
this 36?
Next week, actually this Saturday, the 9th, we are going to be recording a community showcase with the Rampage Network. This was actually in the cards for a while. It was got delayed about a month, actually. And we're going to talk about the Rampage Network in general as a hosting site. And we're also going to be talking about some of the webcomics on there. So it's going to be another community showcase, essentially. And we're going to be hitting up a bunch of other things as well. Because if we don't, we are going to run out of things to talk about way too quickly if we don't do community showcases. So,
and we're going to try to not make a fail-well out of this one, is my understanding.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
like the webcomic list one was a bit of a farce.
That was crazy.
This will be organized and hopefully. Well thought out.
Yes,
just like the Rampage Network.
Yeah, just. So anyway, anybody who's listening that's part of the Rampage Network, John had been looking for people that are on the, at least like the. I don't know if they got the other part. I'm not going to mention that part. I don't know if it's up yet. But he was looking for people to submit their little ads because we're going to on our new main page, like we did with Zephyr.net. Zephyr.net had a banner roll, a banner exchange thing with all the Zephyr.net hosted sites, and so they're going to be doing. We're going to put a code up on our page as well of different Rampage networks. I think they're going to be cycling 10 comics at a time per each month. So if he's sending an email. Get your image out to them so we can get that code up on our site. We are still affiliated with The Geek Media at thegeekmedia.com, so that's going to be awesome. It still is awesome. There we go.
Yes. So, it is still awesome.
Other things to talk about?
Other news?
Is there other news?
The School Spirit, it hit its 600th episode. It's the awesomest webcomic about children that are in school that there is on the net. So check that out, schoolspiritcomic.com.
It's an Aussie comic, isn't it?
It is. But he has a dictionary. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, it's used.
And there's
you can get over the Aussie speak really easily. It's not difficult at all. It's not written all in slang, and it's actually quite educational at times too. He goes through different points of Australian history, and it's a little bit of a ghost story and a little bit of a kid story, and it's really an excellent comic.
Yep,
alrighty.
And it's cool because the teachers have just as much of a personality as the children do.
Teachers don't have personality. Now,
I had other news too.
You mentioned are they milestones?
Well, that was a milestone.
If you're not going to mention more milestones, I'm going to mention the other milestones, and then we'll
go to your rest of your news.
Other milestones, 8-1, which is 8:1, actually is the name of the comic is at yaduff.comicgenesis.com. that hit 5 years online. Now, granted, it's probably had some hiatuses in there, but I just happened to notice it was updating, and I noticed that they hit 5 years, so that's 8-1. Also, some people may know of The Comics webcomic, which is actually a webcomic of webcomics. It has a bunch of sub-webcomics to it or something like that, and one of the more popular ones are Gertrude and Brunhilde comics, and those just hit 100. So the webcomic within the webcomic has hit 100 strips, and they're pretty funny. They're former Valkyries, and they're they can be scantily clad in iron and chainmail armor, as well as having crossovers with PSI, say, back last year, and coming up in middle of August, if you check out drunk.com/the_comics or fessandernst.com. Boy, that's same with self-promotion there.
This is lovely.
Okay, Aaron, go!
Okay, check this out, you guys. There's this comic. I've been reading it for a while. And they went on hiatus for a while, but they just recently, and this completely blew me away, came out with a new episode. I was totally floored. You guys might have heard of it, www.betapwn.com. New episode, I was totally floored. Like, she's wearing, like, this squeaky, it looks kind of like squeaky rubber outfit kind of thing. I'm not sure what kind of outfit it's supposed to be, but I just wanted to comment on the little white kind of frosty lines on the black. I never thought of that effect before, and it looked really cool. And I was so blown away because I had just came here to look at her ads, to try to help her with the ads. But then I was totally freaked out because I was so used to seeing that stupid hiatus. She couldn't even put like a picture of like Tanya's face on it or anything. And I was like, Beta Pwn to overturn. I've like got it memorized, right? But no, it's like this frosty, squeaky suit. But, like, right in my face, and I'm like, what the hell? She made a new episode. And anyway, I didn't share it with anybody. And so I thought that was newsworthy for everybody. They stopped checking, because I had stopped checking for updates.
Yeah, Aaron, do you realize that everyone in the chat room's asking if you said ass, that you memorized her ass?
I'm reading it. I don't care. They make fun of me anyway. They always find something to make fun of me about. I don't care. No, I'd memorized it.
Yeah, I will admit that the first panel is just nothing but Janine ass. Just shit. But
yeah, I know. And all of a sudden it's like, blah! And I was expecting the text, but no.
No, it was squeaky, rubber, clad Janine ass. Yeah.
All right.
And now for the Beacon Searchlight.
Tanya, did you get the beacon for this week? The beacon searchlight?
You know, I didn't.
It's circle versus square.
Oh, well, okay. I know circle versus square, so I didn't need to be prepped.
I'd already read it too, so.
Well, circle versus square was new for me. I'd seen it like a long time ago, and I have to say that it is one of those webcomics that, you know, is technically a webcomic because you know, it's sequential art in a series.
okay,
it's one of those. It's a cut paste comic, which just has. It is like other than, it is the most minimalist comic ever that I've ever seen.
It is very minimalist.
It's shapes talking.
Yes.
I'm sorry, but this has to be one of the web comics that I just can't read. Like dinosaur comics. I cannot read dinosaur comics that often because it's the art does not change, so therefore I don't have the art to look forward to. And it's just so much text. I have troubles reading. I have dyslexia, and I guess a verbal form of it too because I keep tripping over my mouth. But I just can't. Okay, sometimes in text I have to reread a sentence like two or three times to make sure that I read it properly. Words kind of jumble along. That's why I like comics because I get like nice separate word balloons and such and pictures to help tell the story. But, you know, obviously, you know, comics like this do well in their own right. And, you know, Dinosaur Comics is, you know, a phenomenal comic that I hear. But I just can't stick with it too long because there's just so much text. But so you guys know what I mean. The art, well.
Well, yeah, it's a circle and a square for the most part, and a diamond and a heart.
Yeah, so they're it's shapes. Not like, I mean, the art has not improved. I can say the art has not improved at all. But maybe do some shading.
If you go to 87, it's like a whole big picture comic thing, though, too. Clearly a comic convention, you know, deal.
Yeah.
But it's all there. Yeah, the art, it can improve. It's a circle and a square, dude.
Well, and they're talking. So anyway, you guys should be better off talking about this than me.
I like it. I think it's intelligent. It is wordy, but it has to be wordy. I mean, it's like a barely diagrammed novel. It's funny. It's intelligent, and each of the little shapes does manage to have a very distinct personality. There is some kind of, you know, dark sort of sardonic humor to it, and I think it's funny. I like it.
Aaron?
Okay. There's like a lot of it reminds me of a lot of old stuff that I watched when I was a kid, where it was two things that you couldn't see making any features or responses or anything, but that they could clearly tell what each other's doing, but you just can't see it. What the hell are you talking about? Okay, well, you know, like, I have four cats, and they always know what each other's thinking and doing and their moods and stuff, but, you know, you can't see it, you know what I
mean?
Yeah. And so, like, you can't tell if they're smiling or if they're going to bite each other or hit each other or run away or smell each other.
Or throw
butt.
Up in your shoes.
Yeah, you never know, right? But they know. And so that just reminds me of this, because they're always fighting and arguing. You just have to imagine, like the faces that they're making to each other and stuff.
And, yeah.
So even though
it's intuitive,
it kind of brings back that whole having to use your imagination a little bit. And I think he does that well, because there's so much to read that you actually can do it.
Yeah.
You can if you want.
Alrighty.
If you don't want to, then go read Penny Arcade. Go read Penny Arcade if you want to.
Yeah. Well, already, let's see here. Well, I guess that's all that can be said about Circle versus Square. But you can check out Circle versus Square at circleversussquare.com with the verses spelled out.
Have a webcomic you want us to look at? Send a synopsis and link to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com.
We should do a show on minimalist comics. I'm not even sure that's the right word you're supposed to say to describe them, but it could be interesting.
So it would be like Circle versus Square, XKCD, Wordsworth webcomic, maybe Order of the Stick.
Well, okay. Brett Hanley actually had a really good word for webcomics that are either badly drawn on purpose or, you know, take pride in the fact that they're, you know, they look like crap. Something deconstructionist webcomics or something like that, which were pretty good. There's also this guy from the webcomic list forums. He does like the panda something or other.
Oh yeah,
big panda. I'll try to look it up. Speaking of which, actually, this reminds me. I believe the guy's name is Steph. The guy who does Sarah Zero. He goes by Bughead on the webcomic list. And the guy who does the panda comic, I'll get it in a note, guys. I totally forgot in the show notes. I totally forgot. Both listened to our episode 34 and offered to do cover art for our episodes, or at least one of our episodes. The guy from Sarah Zero is going to be doing the one for this show, I believe. Gets it in on time anyway. And I sent a message to the other guy about next week, which is going to be on the Rampage Network, which is actually a little bit harder to figure out what to do, but I have an idea, which I'm going to see if he thinks he can pull it off. Otherwise, we'll save him for another episode.
I predict a panda.
Well, here's the thing, you know, we got a new representative for the Webcomic Beacon, don't we?
We do.
If you notice the past two episodes, we have, instead of trying to draw all three of us in our weird comic forms, we have Becky. Becky the Beacon Girl. Who's going to be, well, I guess this is the logo spokesperson?
Booth Babe.
Booth Babe, sure. So, I mean, she's not all, you know, fan service-y at all or anything. I drew it to be, you know, kind of normal, like a real girl.
I could sex her up if you want.
Well, yeah, I'm sure you could sex her up, you know, but right now I just got her as a cool t-shirts and jeans geeky girl. So
she's gonna end up in paladin armor though.
And excellent. I'll do her in the Leia Jabba outfit. Oh, how about geez. That?
Yes.
Anyway, so
it's like geek standard.
So we got some new stuff to looking forward to, and so it should be really cool. I'm going to think if I can try to make a little comic strip for her once in a while if I ever think of something. We'll see what happens with her. I was originally going to call her Beaky off of Beaky, you know, Beaky Beaky.
Yeah, that's pretty
but
bad.
Then I thought, you know, wait, that sounds stupid. Becky.
Well, you know what happened is me and Fess were talking about her, and I kept calling her Becky anyway because I couldn't even say
Beaky. Or
yeah, well, I wanted to call her Binky, but then it kept ended up being Becky.
A Binky is one of those little things that babies suck on.
Well, I know, and that's why I thought maybe Binky could also work for her name, but
not so much. Okay, you know, Becky works. Becky's good.
All right. Well, we are really out of time right now. We had a lot of stuff to cover this week. Again, I want to make fun of the Geekcast for trying to steal our idea of having fans draw the cover art for the episodes.
There you go, guys.
We love you guys.
You
too. Be sure to tune in on Saturday this week to listen in to the Community Showcase Rampage Network at rampagenetwork.com, our new hosts. And we'd like to give a good, once again, thanks again to Zephyr.net for hosting us for the past 34 episodes or whatever.
Yay.
It was.
35. This is 36.
Alrighty. Sounds good. We gotta get out of here. This has been Fess of FessandErnst.com.
This is Tanya of Betaphone.com.
Aaron from TableComics.com.
And we'll see you again later at WebComicBeacon.com.
Yay.
That's all for the Beacon. Be sure to tune in next week.
Sudden, we'll have Giggy the Gigcast Girl, and she can go on superhero adventures.
We could do crossovers
with their
Becky,
Giggy,
Becky and Giggy, Night on the Town.
Yes. Yes.